Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something very specific, a retro rave rewind moment inside Ableton Live 12, designed for jungle and old school D&B vibes, but still clean enough to live in a modern arrangement. And I want to be clear about the goal from the start. We are not just throwing nostalgia on top of a track. We're designing a usable transition device, something that can work as a breakdown, a fake out, a pre-drop reset, or a second drop lift, a moment that feels like the track briefly falls into a memory of the rave, then snaps straight back into the present. That contrast is where the power is. In D&B, the drums and bass hit harder when the arrangement opens up for a moment. The rewind section gives the listener a release, but it also keeps the floor locked. It has to feel intentional, not decorative. It has to support the phrase structure, not drift away from it. So the first move is not sound design, it's arrangement thinking. Decide where the rewind moment lives. Most of the time, that means 2 bars before the drop, a 4-bar reset before the second drop, an 8-bar breakdown after a heavy passage, or a fake out at the end of a phrase. Put locators in arrangement view and think in 4-bar and 8-bar sentences. That matters because the whole section needs to behave like a handoff. It should inhale, pull back, and then launch the next section forward. Why this works in D&B is simple. The genre runs on momentum. If you respect the bar count, the transition feels like part of the system. If you don't, the atmosphere can overstay its welcome or arrive too early and flatten the drop. And that is one of the fastest ways to lose tension. Now let's build the rewind gesture itself. Start with one audio source. It can be a break hit, a snare tail, a vinyl noise burst, a chopped stab from the track, anything with a clear transient and a bit of tone. You can resample that into an audio track, or chop it directly in the arrangement. If you want a stronger old-school feel, pick a fragment that already has attitude in it. Short, sharp, and imperfect is usually better than long and polished. A solid stock device chain for this is Auto Filter, Green Delay or Echo, Redux, and Utility. Start with Auto Filter, and bring the cutoff down into the low-mid range, somewhere around 1.2 to 3 kHz depending on how exposed you want it. Then automate that cutoff into the rewind point. Add a bit of grain delay if you want the texture to smear and splinter. Keep the wet level subtle, around 10 to 25%, so it feels like part of the scene and not a special effect demo. Redux can add the grime and bit reduction that sells the tape warp feel, but keep it in the zone of damage, not total obliteration. Then use utility to keep the layer narrower than your main drums and check the mono compatibility early. What to listen for here is the immediate read. Does it sound like a rewind the second it arrives? Good. Does it still sound like it belongs in the same track? Even better. If it starts sounding too clean or too obvious, pull back the effect. A classic mistake is making it so polished that it turns into an obvious FX cliché. We want memory, not a sound design tutorial. At this point you get to choose your nostalgia language. You've basically got 2 strong directions. The first is an authentic jungle memory. That means chopped breaks, dusty noise, sharp mid-range stabs, and a broken pulse that feels like it grew out of the drums. That's perfect for darker jungle, raggle-leaning energy, and raw old-school pressure. The second is more of a rave wash memory. Here you use sustained chords, filtered pads, and a wider stereo bloom. That version is less busy, more suspended, and often works better in techie rollers or atmospheric second drop moments. If your track already has dense drums and a busy bass line, lean toward the rave wash so the atmosphere doesn't fight the groove. If the tune needs identity and scene setting, go for the jungle memory. You can blend them, but one should clearly lead. If both fight for attention, the section gets blurry and loses its era-specific personality. Now let's build the bed. Create a MIDI track and make a simple chord or stab layer with wave eatable or analog. Don't overcomplicate the harmony. You're not writing a full progression here. You're creating a mood object, a fragment that suggests a rave memory without becoming cinematic wallpaper. Minor sevenths, suspended tones, two-note stabs with octave doubling, those are all great starting points. A practical chain is wave eatable into auto filter, chorus ensemble, saturator, and reverb. Use a saw-based or bright harmonic source. Then automate the filter, so it opens from roughly 200 Hz up to 2 or 5 kHz depending on how much presence you need. Chorus ensemble can widen it, but don't make it seasick. A little width goes a long way. Saturator adds density, usually in the 2 to 6 dB drive range, and then reverb can give it space. Keep the decay fairly short to medium, around 1 to 2.5 seconds, with a small pre-delay if you want the chord to stay defined. What to listen for is balance. The bed should make the section feel larger, but not smear the kick and snare. If the snare starts losing snap or the kick feels soft, the harmony is too wet, too wide, or too full range. That's a signal to carve more space, not to make the sound design bigger. One thing that really separates a good retro atmosphere from a generic one is rhythm. Don't just hold a stack pad and call it nostalgic. Shape the movement so it talks to the groove. You can gate the chords with short MIDI clips, use autopan for subtle rhythmic motion, or slice a break fragment in simpler and layer it quietly under the wash. You can also use echo with short feedback and filtered highs to create ghost repeats between snare hits. This is where the atmosphere starts to feel like it belongs to the drum language of the track. In DNB, that matters a lot. The drum loop is the engine. If the atmosphere breathes in time with it, it sounds intentional. If it floats above it, it sounds pasted on. A good rule here is to high pass your mood layer is somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the content. The darker and heavier the tune, the more careful you need to be. Let the atmosphere have some body if the track can handle it, but never let it steal the low-end real estate from the kick, sub, and bass movement. Keep the sub-zone clean. That's where the power lives. Now we turn this into a proper drop reset. Build the moment over 4 or 8 bars. A strong shape is this. The first couple of bars bring in the break fragments and filtered ambience. The third bar intensifies the rewind gesture, maybe the chords widen or smear a little more. Then the final bar thins out, almost like a vacuum, before the next section slams in. You can add a reverse reverb swell or a reversed snare chop leading into that gap if you want a little more drama. Or, for a more old-school move, leave a quarter bar or half bar of silence before the drop. That kind of space can feel deadly on a system. It gives the next kick and snare way more authority. What to listen for here is the fall away. Does the section feel like it is deliberately collapsing before the next hit? If not, you probably have too much continuous ambience and not enough contrast. Remember, the best rewind moments do not just get louder. They get thinner, darker, and more unstable right before they disappear. Now bring in the actual drum and bass material from the next section. This is the test. Don't judge the atmosphere in solo. Judge it against the groove. Listen to whether the snare is still the loudest mid-range impact. Listen to whether the bass re-entry feels bigger because the atmosphere got out of the way. And listen to the sub-zone. If the ambience is masking the pickup, you need to carve more space, probably with EQ 8 around the lower mids and maybe a narrower utility setting on the atmosphere layer. This is a really important point. Great FX can still wreck a drop if they steal the center of gravity. In DNB, contrast is part of the sound. If the atmosphere sounds impressive by itself but reduces the punch of the next drum and bass entry, it is not done yet. At a more advanced level, you should think about committing some of this to audio. Once the rewind gesture and chord wash are doing the job, print them. That's especially useful if the timing and texture are part of the character. Audio lets you trim tails precisely, rearrange the phrase faster, avoid over-editing the effect into something sterile, and save CPU for the drums, bass, and mix decisions that really matter. A good workflow is to consolidate the final 4 to 8 bars into an audio print and keep the MIDI version hidden in case you need to reprint it later. Name it clearly, something like Rewind Atmo Print 01. That sounds small, but it's a serious finishing habit. It stops you getting stuck in endless loop tweaking. Now let's refine the stereo picture. Retro rave atmospheres can be wide, but your low-end support should stay centered. Use utility to mono the deepest layers. Keep the wide material above the weight zone. If chorus ensemble is hollowing out the middle too much, back it off. If you need to manage the sides, EQ 8 in mid-side mode can help tame harsh wide content or keep the center solid. A really useful test is to collapse the track to mono. Does the rewind moment still read? If it disappears completely, the section is too dependent on stereo tricks. You need a central anchor, whether that's a mono break fragment, a filtered mid-range stab, or a sampled hit that survives the collapse. That mono check is especially important in club music. Wide and vague ambience can sound great in headphones and then fall apart on a system. The section still needs a center of gravity. The last piece is automation. Don't only ride the volume. Automate filter cutoff, reverb send, delay feedback, saturation drive, and the final dB drop into the gap. Small moves are enough. You do not need huge sweeps. Sometimes a 1 to 3 dB shift and a decent cutoff move is all it takes to make the moment feel like it is collapsing under its own weight. If you're doing a second drop, mutate the scene slightly. Keep the identity, but change one ingredient. Maybe the second one has less width, more break grime, or a harsher final chop that keeps the arrangement feeling written rather than looped. A couple of mistakes to avoid here. First, don't use a long dreamy pad that floats across the whole transition. It kills contrast. Second, don't overdo the rewind until it becomes a meme. Third, don't let the atmosphere sit in the same range as the kick and snare. And fourth, don't design it in solo and assume it works. Always check the next drum and bass entry.